If you have a Bible, please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And the verses will appear behind me, so if you don't have a Bible, no problem. Learning about how to be holy from Peter, the man who said, "Go away from me, I am a sinful man." God began a good work in him. God continued to work in him. And he wrote this marvelous letter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. And in verse 13, therefore prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. God is in the business of transforming failures into fully devoted followers. That is not only the teaching of Peter, that is the testimony of Peter, the disciple who denied Jesus three times, from failure to fully devoted follower. And the word that sums up fully devoted follower is the word holy. What hope is there for us today to grow in holiness? First of all, what does it mean to be holy? Perhaps the first image that comes into your mind might be of danger. My father was an electrician, and he told me, stay away from power sockets. Do not attempt amateur electrical work, or you will get a nasty shock. You might even die. And as we read some of the Old Testament, there is a sense of danger about approaching God because he is holy. And if we approach him in the wrong way, that we will perhaps even die. Is that how we should understand holiness today? You see, in the New Testament, we hear these amazing words from another one of Jesus' disciples, John. He says, "That which was from the beginning," talking about Jesus, "which we have heard and which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have touched." Now, I wasn't to touch the electrics or I might die. We weren't to get too close to God or we might die. But when Jesus came in the flesh, we could touch him. Something has changed. The Holy God has come so near to us. And how can we understand this difference? You see, when we look at it from our perspective, yes, there is a great gap between us and God. He is perfect, we are not perfect. He is just, we are not. And because he is just, he must punish sin. And so we are scared of him. But when Peter said, "Go away from me," Jesus said, "Do not be afraid." Jesus came that we could come to God. He came to us that we could come to God. And if you look at it just from our perspective, we don't get a full picture of what holiness is. We only get it from our angle. But separation is not the best way to understand holiness, because there is no separation in God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are united with one another. They are completely in harmony with one another. They are completely devoted to each other. Love is the best way to understand God. God is love. And there is no separation in the Godhead. Each member of the Trinity is totally devoted to each other. And when we come into a relationship with God through Jesus, we are called to be devoted to him, to love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. But we find it difficult, don't we? We don't live lives of devotion all the time. To be holy is to be wholly devoted. To be holy is to be set apart for God's purpose. And here's the great news. God's purpose is that we will be like him. God's purpose is that we will be like Jesus. We will be full of mercy, full of truth, full of grace, full of sacrificial love, full of justice. That is God's plan for our lives. What is your plan for your life today? God has great plans for your life. God wants to make us holy. There was a minister in the 19th century called Robert Murray McChain. And he said these words, "Lord, make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be." That was his prayer. That was his goal. And sometimes we think of holiness in the minutiae of decisions. Should you smoke? Not, you know, in a few decades ago, should you go to the dances? Should you go to the pictures? This is completely trivializing what holiness is all about. Holiness is about God's justice, God's mercy, God's sacrificial love for people, that he would go to the cross for them, that he would give his life for them. That is what it means to be holy, to be wholly devoted to him, to make disciples, to share good news. And the great news is that God has help for us today. Look with me briefly at verse 2. We'll just bring up one slide. Just before I read that verse, this is how we can make sense of this subject. It's relational. Who are you? Who are you? Who am I? Are you a sinner or are you a saint? What's your primary identity, sinner or saint? Well, if you're a Christian, your primary identity is a saint, a holy person. That is how we are addressed in Scripture as Christians. Whose are you? Who do you belong to? Jesus. We belong to Jesus. I've lived all over the country, and it was a great comfort to know that when people said, "Where are you from? What's your identity?" I would say, "I belong to Jesus. Yes, I'm proud to be Indonesian, but far more important, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I can go anywhere in the world, and I'm still a follower of Jesus." And what is your life for? What is your life for? This verse 2 says it's for obedience to Jesus Christ. So what help does he give us to be holy? He says the Father has chosen us. That he, in the dawn of time, it was his purpose and his plan that we would live like Christ. That was his plan for us. And he chose us. And on the days when we are really struggling, to remember that we're made for this. We're made for this. If we had the instruction manual, page 1, sentence 1, you were made for this. You're not being asked to do something that is unnatural to the way God created you. It's to be, as my old Sunday school teacher said, to glorify God and to enjoy him. If you sign up and commit yourself to God's eternal purpose, you will be more joyful. If you live a life of compromise, of holding back, having a divided life and a divided heart, you will be frustrated. And if you are a frustrated Christian here today, maybe it's because you have not embraced God's plan for your life to be holy, devoted, and obedient in following him. So God the Father chose us, and Jesus, the Holy Son, he died to make it possible, because we could not live in the ways of God. Our nature was corrupted by what Adam and Eve did all these years ago. And so our tendency is towards selfishness. Our tendency is to put ourselves at the center. But Jesus Christ died on the cross that we could be made new, that we could be a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And remember, this is not anything other than the eternal plan of God. We see towards the end of 1 Peter chapter 18, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ." Whose are you? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Christ died on that cross to set you free, to bring you back to God, not simply to warehouse you for heaven, but to make you actively reflecting his goodness and glory here today. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, live obediently for him. The Father has chosen us for this fruitfulness. The Son has died that we could become new people. And the Holy Spirit is always at work within us to sanctify us, to make us holy, to make us different. And I think it's amazing. You know, maybe we are in a close relationship and we know that we don't always say the right things and we don't always do the right things, and sometimes we're just selfish. And then the person that we're with puts up with us and maybe even is gracious towards us. How much more is the Holy Spirit long-suffering? How much more is the Holy Spirit gracious? He dwells in our hearts even when we are disobedient. He's still there. He dwells in our hearts even when we're not that interested. He chooses to make his home with us even when we don't make him feel at home. That's how wonderful he is, because in the eternal plan of God, he has got glory in store for us, and he is at work through prompting us, through pricking our conscience, to make us stop, to make us be different. He gives us, he unites us to God, and he gives us godliness, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see how committed God is. God is totally devoted to our devotion. He's planned it. He's paid for it. He is ever at work to achieve it. And the question for us is, are we willing to cooperate with him? If we hear his voice today, will we harden our hearts or will we soften our hearts? When we hear his voice today, putting specific decisions, desires, some of it good, some of it not good, will we hear his voice and will we turn away from sin and will we turn to him? Will we open up our hands to him and say, Lord, I'm open. I want what you want. Let us pray. Jesus, you are changing me. By your Spirit, you're making me like you. Jesus, you're transforming me. May your loveliness be seen in all I do. You are the potter, and I am the clay. Let me be willing to let you have your way. Father, I want to thank you that you're no longer that remote God that we are terrified of, and because you sent Jesus to us. Thank you that you took all the initiative, that while we were still sinners, you came to us and you died for us. And today we want to be close to you again. And we pray that as we gather around the Lord's table, that we would come near to you and that we would experience that union with you afresh. We pray that the bread and the wine that we will take will be not just a memory, but it will be a present day feasting upon your grace. And for those of us that are here today who have not yet received you by faith, have not yet repented and trusted in you, we pray that as they participate in this time, maybe not by taking the bread and wine, but by just taking it all in and what it means, we pray that you would speak to them too, and that they would receive a fresh understanding of how much you love them, of the wonderful plan you have for their life, and the fact that you gave your only Son to die for them and to reconcile them to you. So, Lord, would you send your Spirit afresh to us as we worship you around the table. In Jesus' name, amen.